The word itself, the try this period of 5 years. You got to try. You don't think anything first. Amen. Ephesians 4 and 1. It talks about unity and diversity in both the words. Read as follows. Read the New King James Version. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. With all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. That talks about unity. Verse 7. But, this means you got to tie it together. To each one of us, grace was given according to the measure Christ gave. Therefore, he says, when he lived on high, he led captive to captive and gave this to men. Now, this is a reference to yours. Now, this descendant, what does it mean? But that he also first ascended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens. And he writes all these things. Verse 11. And he himself gave some of the apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, verse 14, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of the deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things in him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. And we're going to stop right here. I first speak on this thing with the resident now. It's all about everything from the one God. My gift is different than your gift. The whole point of unity, if you look up the word, it means different pieces coming together. That doesn't mean that everybody does the same thing. That doesn't mean that everybody, it talks about the different parts of the body of Christ, about the head, hands, ears, brain, so on. Think about your own for a second. If your body is an entire, if you want to pick that foot, what would that look like? You have no eyes, you can't see. You have no nose, you can't breathe. You can't lift anything up, but you have no hands, but that is the foot. But the foot is necessary. The thing about it is that this diversity of gifts, and we want to, it's key, appreciate the diversity of gifts. You have something that I can appreciate. I may not necessarily want your gifts, because And some people might say, there's 10,000 problems. We all have different dimensions of giving to God. We all have different revelations. No one yet is higher than another. Because God gives us a diversity of gifts. But it goes to the same purpose, which is the unity. Unity does not mean that you have to think like me and I have to think like you. Unity does not mean that you both have the same shared experience and therefore I can identify with you. That is not what unity is about. Unity is about pulling things together, pulling in other than yourself that have diversity, that have different abilities. There are things that I do that you probably never want to do or have even considered. And I can guarantee you there are things that you do that I do not want to participate in. Well, how can you possibly be supposed to be? Well, the foot has no interest in the eye, but it's part of the body. Okay? The hand has no interest in the thigh, that's the hand. But it's a body. When you put everything together, that is what unity is all about. I've heard different people talking about, you know, focusing on a certain aspect of scripture. And it doesn't mean that's not true, because it is true. But the mistake that people are making is not making in the other parts. You don't have to work to acknowledge it. You can show appreciation to someone for their work. And they work. Even though you may have to fucking next to things that people do behind the scenes, things that people do when they're up front. Just because they're standing behind this pulpit doesn't mean that their work is of adoration and so forth and so on. Everybody here is worthy of some adoration. Everybody is worthy of saying thank you for your service. I go to my own job, and the things that, even though I'm one of the managers where I work at, and one of the rules of management is never forget the people who actually work. Never forget the people who actually are pushing the buttons. Never forget the people who are making you work to make you look good. Never forget people that bring I use the phrase, you know, everybody thinks about the Indians, but they want to make money cheap. You know what? Without leaders, things don't go right. But you can't lead unless you have people willing to work. And the number one responsibility of leadership, quite honestly, is to shepherd the things of Christ. Make sure that things are where they're supposed to be, seeing where the need is. Putting the right person in the right place at the right time.
That's right.
And that sounds like an easy job. But I can tell you that from any who's ever been here or anybody who's done anything, trying to get people to work together sometimes, like already I've heard of cats. You try to get cats in the end. Each cat is independent. Each cat wants to do its own thing. Let's not be cats. Let's say, you know what? Let's work together.
Yes,
and when we say work together, that means that we all will do the exact same thing. Because somebody has to mop the floors. Somebody has to cook. Somebody has to clean. Somebody has to do the administrative work around the city. Somebody has to go out and visit the sick. Somebody has to be on their knees in their prayer closet. Somebody just needs to just also be quiet and stop talking about people.
Yeah.
Hello?
Amen.
Because we have to learn how to fit things together in the body of Christ. Learning how to work with each other. Learning how to acknowledge one another for the gifts that God has given you. And you may not necessarily saying thank you for saying. But I will say this. Don't talk to somebody who's honestly performing service in the name of God, because it will do a little bit different to you. It's okay to talk to someone that doesn't understand or says, I don't understand, you know. That's fine. Private conversation. But don't bring things on the call unless you know what to be true. Don't be that gospel. Don't be that person that says, I don't work with this person. Don't be that person that says, well, I'm afraid to approach this person because they make me nervous. I tell everybody that, you know, as far as me personally, I don't speak for myself, I know myself. The hell, Curtis is so terrible, so this, so that. Heard people say that over the years. Now tell me if I have changed your perception. And if you ask me, I will tell you that I don't know much. I might nibble on you a little bit, but I don't like that. That's a joke in case of the all that did. But the thing about it is that there have to be some people who are kind of harvesting because you need that in your congregation. But everybody's going to be hard to turn. I can guarantee you, speaking for myself personally, the person who's salty, they're mushy. Like, I don't care. That's too mushy. But you know what? You need those soft souls too. Because there are people who are emotionally down and they need somebody to talk to. Because you're hard, you probably won't be able to reach that person. Because you're hard, you probably are not attentive to their needs. But at the same time, the soft person can't make a hard decision necessarily. The soft person can't necessarily tell a person that they're doing wrong and to counsel them. But some person will be afraid of somebody's feelings getting hurt. Yeah. But it takes all types in the house of God. It really does. To strengthen the body, we have to diversify. Everybody can be doing the same thing. You can have an event, but different people are needed in different capacities to help with the event. You know, talking about the street event, you have a gay around, we take care of the community in town. Well, not just. Right, you know, give some assistance. Even though you don't know nothing about music, you might need to carry something. That's something. Okay? You don't know if somebody needs to help anyone cleans the church. Well, do you know something? Do you have a closet full of clean supplies that you haven't used? That could be a blessing to the church if you need some cleaning supplies. Or ask them to help. Or if you're doing this for my head in the bathroom, I'm sorry. Why is my head? You don't have to wipe the floor. Things like that. Diversity, because some of us can see things that are most of us, and others of us can not see as the list is right in front of our face. But you know what? Both have their place. Because sometimes the person who sees things instantly, you're looking at a moment in time, and you make a snap decision. While those who like to narrate something, they like to, well, you know, like to be a little bit more cautious. That's fine. Because you can also act too quickly. You might meet somebody who can take a step back or two and be able to fill in the blanks, so to speak. A lot of us, you know, that's kind of getting older. Sometimes it's because of your age, your position. You think, well, you know, I know better than the next person because I'm this, I'm that, I've saved so many years, I've walked with Christ so many years, so on. That's not what the walk with Christ is about. Mm-hmm. It's about bringing people together. Yeah. It's about the knowledge and gifts that people bring to the table. It's about respecting one another individual capacity because it says where there is unity and strength, remember what unity is. Mm-hmm. Unity is bringing different things together, joining them together. fit in the body that it may be put good in Massachusetts. Amen? So, let's be careful when we have differences of opinion, because guess what? The apostles had differences. They had one with Jesus Christ, and they had differences alone. This is about who should be first in the kingdom of God. They had all kinds of questions. They forbade the children to sit with Jesus. What did Jesus say? Forbid the children not. But unless you're one of these, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. So sometimes you need to be knocked out and taken. And nobody wants to talk about discipline. Nobody wants to talk about the unpleasantries. But you know what? You need some people in the council of God to address those unpleasantries. Because everything's not pleasantries. Everything's not roses. Everything's not perfect all the time. There are things that need to be done in any congregation, in any church, in any organization. You've ever heard of a well-run organization? I guarantee you that whoever leads that organization, they've learned how to do probably the hardest job of a leader, and that's the right person in the right place at the right time. We all have that urge. No one knows it all. No one should be desirous of a particular office unless he falls to that. God knows what he needs, and that's why he brings people into question because it's an identity person. You may think this person is too quiet, and this other person talks too much. But you know what? There's a place for both of them in the body of Christ. The person too quiet, the prayer warrior, and the one that's very content being on the knee, the prayer warrior. The person that talks too much, well, you know what? That's refocus that what you're talking about. Maybe you can just read that to talk about the grace of God in people's life. Maybe you can talk to somebody personal who's willing to listen. Maybe you can talk to the people, strangers. Some of us are uncomfortable going up to strangers. And others of us have no vision for that. It takes all the time. Some of us are scared to death to get behind the pulpit and speak to an audience and engage in public speaking. That's okay. Because everybody can speak. But at the same time, everybody can witness either where they need to witness it. It's not always about the speaker. It's not always about leadership. It's about each and every one of us sitting in this congregation. What do we bring to the table? What do you have to offer Christ in your service? What do you have to bring to the table, so to speak? What can you bring? Okay? And the thing about it is that one of the things about it is the diversity of gifts. There's so many ways that we can do service. Not only to each other, but those we may come about, that we may come in contact with. But it's on the street, we don't even know. You're just casually glance at a person and say, that brother looks nice, that looks nice. Do I need to go to church or be professional? We're constantly thinking about people that we don't even know. We don't even realize it. It's not a bad thing. But the thing about it is that everybody thinks so. Some of us need to be before God's face more than others, because we constantly cover ourselves. We should all be of the mind that, Lord, what is it that you need me to do this particular time of this? Because, Lord, you've given me this. Or, Lord, this person I know is capable of that. And if you're a leader, you should coach people, helping people to acknowledge the gifts, to encourage them. And that's one thing that I found very interesting, that people just don't do. We don't acknowledge each other like we should. We don't come to each other and, you know, there's a question in my should be able to approach it when we ask a question about anything. Doesn't matter what it is. Because I know that I get asked a question for because of a gift that they were given, they should be able to be responsible. And the thing about it, that's what I'm talking about. Sometimes the three most powerful words when you ask the question is the following: I don't know. The power of that cannot be overestimated because sometimes you feel that you have to. You know what? He says, I don't know, but you know what we find out. That's what we got. The only people that have it. Somebody comes to you for your reason. You may be a spiritual reason. Sometimes, you know, during your self-discovery, learning how to do things, and improving not only your standing in Christ, but helping another person along the way. That kind of works again. Because you're bringing your body together. People come to you with questions. They're different from you because if they weren't different from you, they would already have an answer that had no need to come to you. But the thing about it is that when people do come to you, or when you go out, either one, and minister on behalf of the gospel, the expectation would be that you'll look for somebody who acts like you, who looks like you, who thinks like you, who responds to you in a way that you consider it. Well, that's not what this is about. The gospel of Jesus Christ is meant to be preached to all the world. It is only to say, what is all the world? I'm getting very close. That means that everybody that's out there, not necessarily the Christian, not necessarily the Jew, or the Muslim, but to the person who doesn't know Christ at all, the person who consider themselves a self-described atheist or agnostic, they can be witness to the law. They may not accept what you have, but that's not the point. So the worst thing you can do is say, oh, that person was what I have to say. So I got news for you this. Just look outside the door and look in the mirrors. Everybody will be complaining whatever they believe in. Golden plate or whatever lifestyle what they currently enjoy. But the thing about it is only one thing. Yeah, that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. That he came down from heaven. Because he saw since it was that unless I go down and shed my blood on the house of cross, there is no remission of sin. Man can be lost. And you know what? When you start thinking about that, you got everything else in the vision. Satan cannot say a word. He knows the truth. That's why people, if you're the church, why the union and Satan is master of deception. That's what he does best. He had a reason in the garden to be. And he's been to see the man in every sin. And make no mistake about it. Satan hates God's creation. The same created him. He's all confusion, you know, the father lies. That's not it. That's why we don't necessarily get to the media and the things of the nature because it's like people that's man's function. We all know that number one function of media is the cell papers or if you're on the internet, the clicks, likes, downloads. So it seems like this is something they've always known for thousands of years, the power of the media. The more controversial something is, the more likely that people want to believe it. Especially if it comes from a trusted source or not. And with that, I'd like to just mention that in these times, there's a constant assault. There's a war going on in case you don't know. A war for our souls. Satan has been using tools for a long time. He's pulling out those rusty tools. He hasn't been using them a long time. The old time tools. I got to go back to the days of ancient Rome. we don't have people riot in the streets yet, as it did in the days of old. We don't have people yet. Yeah, we talk about hands and our own lives and our own lives and stuff there. Man puts labels on things because that's what we divide man. You want to divide people? Okay. You're the good ones. You, not so good. You're the good ones. You, not so good. That's how I divide people in labels. Last time I checked, we're all human beings. Last time I checked, we're all created to make you our creation. Doesn't matter what your lifestyle is. Because salvation is free. Salvation is for all. Salvation is for those who are willing to accept Jesus Christ as the world's Savior. Amen?
Amen.
And let's all stand. Let's all the declaration of the Lord our name. Thank you for your word and what you want to pray us to open our minds, hearts, and minds, and understanding. Reveal your divine precepts, Lord Jesus, that what you would have us to be, Lord Jesus. Not only for the things you want to be around, but amongst our family, friends, co workers, and those who be associated with neighbors. Lord, bless us to be lit, let the light of Christ shine on us, Lord. For those of us today that are not saved, Jesus, bless us to cry out, what must I do to save, Lord? Because there is no salvation except through the word of Jesus Christ. Pray for those that are sick and shut. Those that cry out, but he says, Lord, forgive me, Lord. Give me a message. You pray that now where I understand. Lord, help me, Lord Jesus. Bring me out of the arms, Lord Jesus. Bring me to the mind of the land of England. Bless me to know your true purpose for my life, Lord. Lord, I just go for a certain kind of way. But Lord, if it's contrary to your will, remove that. And bring out those things, Lord Jesus, that are good, acceptable, and perfect according to your purpose, O Lord, that I might be a part of that life. Maybe it's somebody else's, but there's a place for everyone in the house of God. There's a place for forgiveness. There's a place for attendance. There's a place for love. There's a place for being a disciple of Christ. In your name, in your word, we pray all these things. That might be true. That your mercy, your tenderly mercy, is available to everyone in this congregation. All these things we ask and pray in the last one of the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
As the church said, amen to the word of God this evening. Truly, God is good, amen. God is very, very clean. Amen. Speak about the unity as we were talking. You know, my mind was back when I was a saint.